because without a correct picture of what should be, nothing will make sense. You see, if we've got the wrong picture of God, the pieces don't fit really well. We get discouraged, discontented, angry, impatient. We start blaming each other. We start falling apart on the inside. We start saying church is too hard, God is too hard, following him is just too tough. It does not make sense, this stuff about God. Well, it's because we got the wrong picture. How's your picture of God? How's it look?
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Here's a question for you to ponder. How do you picture God? How do you imagine his character and personality? Does he only reward you when you do well and punish you when you're not doing so well? Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that how we perceive God will determine how we relate to him. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Your Internal Picture of God.
Your internal picture of God. Start with a funny story of a second grade girl. She's in art class, and the teacher gives them all large pieces of paper, and she instructs the students to draw whatever they want to. Whatever you want to draw, draw something. Well, this one girl just feverishly goes to it and starts drawing, and the teacher gets a little curious, so she walks over there and says, honey, what are you drawing? She said, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher says, well, honey, you know that no one really knows what God looks like. And without looking up, she said, they will when I'm done. What's your picture of Jesus? How do you picture God? What does he look like? What's his character like? What's his personality? Is he someone that's distorted or demanding? Is he far away? Is he doting, too close? Is he uncaring? Is your picture of God somebody that kind of just hands out merit badges when just when you do something good? Or maybe he's too busy. Maybe he's a punisher. Someone gives out penalties. Or maybe your picture of God is someone who just looks just like you. That what you want is what God absolutely wants. Is that the picture? Maybe it's the mirror in your heart. Because he has to look just like me. Because God told me. God said. Another funny story. This is a psychiatric ward. And one of the patients there with his hat turned sideways. And he's got his hand halfway in his shirt. And he's walking around saying, I am Napoleon Bonaparte. And the second patient goes, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am Napoleon Bonaparte. And the second patient says, no, you're not. He said, yes, I am. I'm Napoleon Bonaparte. And the second patient said, who told you that? He said, God told me. The second patient waits for a second, says, I did not. Everybody's picture was wrong there. What's yours like? How do you ensure that your internal picture is correct? Maybe it needs some adjustment. And if so, how? The Bible talks about that, about your internal picture and testing it, checking it to make sure it's right. Because if your picture's wrong, everything else won't fit. I assure you. Paul the Apostle addresses this in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It'll come up on the board. Would you read it nice and loudly with your greatest Shakespearean voice? I am Shakespeare kind of deal. All right, here we go. Go. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. You see, if you've come to know Christ, Christ is in you. The question is, what does he look like? Who are you following? What picture? Is it a right picture? Is it a biblical picture? And by the way, if you've not come to Christ, please do so today. I want to give an invitation at the end. But make sure that you have Christ in your heart. He will make all the difference in your eternity. And it's not just coming to church or being religious, because there's a lot of people out there that are spiritual and go to church. Pharisees went to church too. But come to Christ. Anyway, he says, examine yourself. Why is it so important? Well, I'll tell you why. There's an old saying that says, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And so we try all these different ones, because without a correct picture of what should be, nothing will make sense. You see, if we've got the wrong picture of God, the pieces don't fit really well. We get discouraged, discontented, angry, impatient. We start blaming each other. We start falling apart on the inside. We start saying church is too hard. God is too hard. Following him is just too tough. It does not make sense, this stuff about God. Well, it's because we got the wrong picture. How's your picture of God? How's it look? When it comes to following Jesus in a pure and simple way, you got to have the right picture. And when you do, things start to make sense. You have a guide to follow. It's in Matthew chapter 25. We have something called the parable of the talents. Now, it could be, we don't know what talents are. It could be a bag of gold. And the New International Version talks about a bag of gold. So a master gives three of his servants. One gets five bags, another gets two bags, another gets one bag. And they're to invest it. Now, I want you to see what happens. Now, the lesson will be in the third servant. But listen to what takes place. After a long time, the master went away and then returned to settle accounts with those three. Now, the man who had received five bags of gold brought another five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I've gained five more, says Matthew 25. His master replied, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's joy. Now, the man with two bags of gold also came. And he said, master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, now, same answer as the first. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come, share in your master's joy. Now, watch this. The man who had received one bag of gold came and said this, master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you've not scattered. So you know what? I was afraid and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. So here, it's what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked and lazy slave. You see, both had the same opportunity to receive the same response from the master, except the third one had a wrong picture. You're a hard man. You harvest where you have not sown. I was afraid. You see the reaction? Do you see his response? I was afraid. When you've got the wrong picture of the master, it causes you to live poorly. Nothing fits. Pieces don't go together. And we come to false conclusions about God. I wonder how many people in the world have a wrong picture of God and have come to wrong conclusions. Because the God they talk about, it's like, not the one I know. They paint him to be a hard man, weird, strange, demanding God. A God that punishes, a God that hates, a God that causes all kinds of pain. And I think, wow, picture's wrong, isn't it? So you say, well, Wayne, what if my picture's not correct? Because you see, one of the things about coming to Christ is when you come to the Lord, you receive him by faith, as the scripture says, but it's not like a digital camera where you understand everything about God, where you can go click with your iPhone or a digital camera and then look at the picture immediately. Let's try it again. No, your relationship with God in life is like a Polaroid. It slowly develops and you start to see things. Oh, okay, I'm starting to get it. And the cool thing is, if it's not quite right, if you're patient enough and you allow him to reveal himself to you, it gets clearer and clearer and clearer. All the pieces start coming together and it won't be long before you'll see a beautiful and generous heart, the heart of Jesus for the world. But it's like a Polaroid picture. It's not a digital one. It's not something, I got it, mm-mm. No, it's something that develops along the way. So you say, Wayne, what if my picture is maybe not that accurate? Maybe not that finished. I'm not done with it yet. Well, here's the first point, and I'll just give you two. In developing a pure and simple walk with Jesus, number one, getting the right picture of God, start with the Bible. Did you know that the Barna Group did a research and found out that only 25% of church pastors, on the average, only 25% read the Bible every day. 25% more just read it once a week for sermons. The rest get it from theology books and what people are saying and different messages and things that they read. And I thought, no wonder our churches are getting weird, because they're getting a wrong picture of Christ, and it's not a biblical picture. Start with the Bible. Start with the Bible. Because you see, none of us have passed this way before. We need a guide. Isn't that right? Otherwise, we'll be lost. We need a guide. I mean, this is our first time in life. How many of you have lived this life before? Anybody? No. This is it. This is our run. We have no other run. You get one crack at this. We need a guide. We need a coach. And so the Bible is a living guide that helps us to see who Jesus is. And I tell you, once you see him as he is, everything changes. You begin to say, man, I love him so much. And now I'm beginning to put the pieces together. There are some people that can be knowledgeable about God because what they've heard and what they've garnered from different things, but it's going to be biased because of bad teaching or a setback they've had or a painful situation or circumstance. You've got problems with people, problems with churches, problems with men, problems with women. And now all of that's going to be mixed into your picture of God. And if that person's in a pulpit and that's being shared, do you understand how in mass people can get a wrong picture of God? I thought about the Pharisees. They were like that. You know, they actually read the scriptures, but it wasn't to find out about Jesus, because they wouldn't have missed the Messiah when he came. They were looking for things to get better control over people, to have more authority over people, like, I know more than you, so you got to listen to me. And then they can basically tell them what they wanted to do. The danger of that is you miss life. In fact, Jesus actually confronted the Pharisees. Let's read this next scripture out of John chapter 5. Would you read it with me? Go. He said this to the Pharisees. You study the scriptures because you think that in them you'll find eternal life. And these very scriptures, yet you are not willing to come to me in order that you might have life. See, what happens is the Lord says, these scriptures reveal me. But you're looking for information that gives you a little bit more authority, that I know more. But they speak of me, but you're unwilling to come to me. Why? Because I may change your picture. I may nuance it and edit it, revise it, and you don't like that. I might show up things in your life that may need to be edited just a little bit. And you don't want that. So you're unwilling to come to me. So the picture, the mutated, distorted picture they have remains. But it's all here. I tell people, if the Bible just gets into your head, that's all. It's called information. If you can drop it into your heart, whoo, that's called inspiration. But it's not until it bleeds out of your toes that it becomes transformation. If it just gets in my head, that's all I got. Makes me a Pharisee. If I can let it drop into my heart, whoo, whoo, makes me a fanatic. But if I allow it to run its course till it bleeds out of my fingernails, that's when you become a disciple. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. And so we want to make sure that we have a right picture of God. So where do you start? You start with the Bible. Not with circumstances. Not with setbacks. Because you've got to remember, regardless of what happens to you, when you come to Christ, remember this. God is for me. Just imprint that into your heart. Inscribe it into your heart. God is for me. We say, Wayne, if God is for me, why can't I just do whatever I want to do? And he just endorses it, because, man, I want to do whatever I want, you know. And God told me to go here and live with this girl or do that thing or do this drug or whatever. You know, God told me I am Napoleon Bonaparte. God said so. Yeah, really? Yeah, you see, the thing is that God is for you, but he's not going to give you permission to destroy yourself. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't it say in the book of Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm, it does. But you have to remember this. You can do what you want because you got free will. But sometimes God's going to come in like a storm and say, no, I thought you said he was for me. He is. Even when God steps in front of you and says, no, he's for you. Why? I'll tell you why. Because when I reject God's ways in the Bible and choose my own with alibis, rationalization, whatever, I'm really good at that. The Bible says it's still called sin if it's not God's ways. And so what happens is sin separates man from God. You know what God hates more than the sin? Is the separation that it has caused between you and God. So does God punish you for your sins? No. You are punished by your sins. It's sin that's toxic. It's sin that destroys marriages, destroys mankind, destroys cities and families and churches. And that's why there's a separation. You can still be religious, did you know that over here? But be totally separated from God. You can be really religious. That's why they say about the mafia. They go to church on Sunday and then they kill you on Monday. You can still be Pharisees were very religious, but they were separated from God. So God sees that and he says, I know how I created you, and I didn't create you to do well in sin. It destroys families and marriages and futures and kids and nations and communities. I didn't create you to do well in sin. So when there's sin happening, he comes in like a storm to say, no, why? Is he punishing me for my sin? No, you're getting punished by your sin, and he loves you so much that he's going to do everything he can to stop that from happening. He's going to arrest that disease. He's going to arrest it as fast as he can because he loves you that much. Let's say you have a grandfather. Grandfather's kind of going blind at the end of his time, and he's walking in a garden and that he thinks he's been there before, but in actuality, there's a precipice, there's a cliff, and he's starting to walk towards his drop-off, and you say, Grandpa, don't go that way. There's a decline there. There's a drop-off. No, I've been here before, and I'm fine. No, Grandpa, stop. You're going to go off the edge. No, I'm fine. If you have to, you will jump in front of him and tackle him so he doesn't go off the cliff. And then he gets up and says, why did you do that? You hate me, don't you? No, he loves you. And God is like that. If he sees you go, or your family, your future going over the edge, he will tackle you. Why? Because he's against you? No, he's for you. And that separation will bring such destruction. No, you're not punished for your sin as much as you're punished by your sin. So when you get a right picture of God, you'll realize that he really is for me, never against me. I can have a 10-year-old son that says, Dad, I want the car keys. No. Yes, I want it. No, why do you hate me so much? I want to slap him first and then say, it's because I love you. Whack, whack. I wonder if God does that to us sometime. One of the benefits of having a pure and simple relationship with Jesus is when you do, from that moment on, nothing happens to you. Everything happens for you. He will take all of the ingredients, even the mistakes and frailties, all of the foibles, and he'll blend them in somehow, and he'll work them together for your good if you'll trust him. That's how simple it is. It's not complicated. He takes care of all of that. Like I said, if you have 100 zeros and you put a numerical coefficient in the front of it, or number one or two, it adds value to everything. And sometimes it's like God is saying, Wayne, you're a bunch of zeros, but if you'll put me first in your life, the greater the amount of zeros, the better. Because I can bring value to your life. And you turn it over to him. And when you do, all the pieces start to fit together. Ah, we're starting to learn. That's it. And then there's that interchange where not only do you receive God's blessings, but you can also receive God's discipline when he tackles you. Because I know he's for me. I know he is. God's always for you. And that's the kind of picture that we have to have. So God will show up some of the flaws, and we have to be able to see it and be willing to make the corrections. Because God doesn't always say everything is fine. He might say everything is pretty good, but this area you need to work on. And I need to be able to say, okay, it's just that pure, that simple, because he loves us very, very much. And there's going to be corrections. And that's because if you don't, what happens is as things go on, it gets worse and worse. The sin drives us further and further from God. So you know what he does? He gives us a conscience that says, I don't think that's quite right. How many of us have said something to somebody and then you walk away and you think, oops, I shouldn't have said that? How many of you? Yeah, wives, raise your husband's hands, would you? Yeah, absolutely. And what happens is there's a little ouch on the inside. I think the best illustration is the American Indians used to say, God, when he made the heart of a human being, he put a triangle embedded in the middle of that heart. Little triangle with sharp edges. And every time you do something that you know is going to drive you from God, that triangle turns on the inside and its sharp edges cuts the inside of your heart and it's painful. And so you stop, say, ooh, that doesn't feel right. That hurts. And then it heals. And then if you do it again or you do something else, it turns again in your heart and it cuts the inside of your heart. It's like, ouch. And you stop. Now it heals. But they say that some people want evil so badly and want their way so much, even though it's not God, that triangle turns and they withstand the pain. They tolerate the hurt. And they do nothing about it until that triangle turns and turns and turns and cuts the inside of that heart. And it turns until it turns freely and you feel the pain no more. And I thought, wow, that's so important to be able to be people who say, oop, I think we'll hold it right there. I think we'll stop. Because if I let it go, it will erupt into something that I will regret in the days yet to come. Self-correcting is important. Because once you go against that picture and you know it's not God, you correct and say, I think I'm okay on that. I was talking to a friend yesterday and he reminded me of his grandmother who said something very interesting. Because when you have a pure and simple relationship with Jesus, not only do you expect good things from him, you can expect corrections. He might tackle you sometime, but it's all because he loves me. And that picture starts, oh, otherwise you'll get a picture that says, only when he does good things for me, then that's my God. When he doesn't, then that's not. And then you get distorted. You start to mutate in your growth with Christ and your picture's funny and none of the pieces fit because the pictures are switched. It's wrong. But this grandmother said, when you know Jesus and you really know him, there's an interchange. Not only do you receive, but you give and back and forth. And God knows those who are his. So she said this, when you come before the Father, and he tells you about Jesus, he's going to ask you two simple questions. Number one, do you know him? Number two, does he know you? You know, in the book of Matthew, the Lord's talking about some people who come to him in heaven. And they say, oh, we went to church. We saw miracles. We did this, we did that in the name of God. And Jesus answers and says, I never knew you. You were super religious. You were around all of that stuff, but you didn't apply a thing. So you were like the Pharisees. You had knowledge, but you had no transformation. Depart from me, it says, all you who practice wickedness. And I thought, wow. And so true. Question number one, do you know him? Number two, does he know you? But when you have that pure and simple relationship with Jesus, you start seeing sin way in advance. I mean, you don't wait until you crash. You start to see it in advance. In fact, the Bible says it this way. A foolish man proceeds and pays the penalty, but a wise man sees the evil and circumvents it way in advance. I thought, when you know Jesus and his heart is there and you got a right picture of God, it's like, I can see further now. It's like, I'm good. Pure and simple relationship with Jesus. It makes all the difference in the world. And when you get the right picture, because you got it from the Bible and you're starting to understand the things of God, when the picture's right, all the pieces fit together. I promise. And when that takes place, all the pieces start to fit. Can you say amen to that? Amen.
You have just heard a message entitled Your Internal Picture of God by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. As you contemplate today's message, ask God to give you a bigger picture of who He is, high and lifted up, the very God of gods who created the universe, yet one who wants to be your closest friend. We pray that you will open your heart to Him today. Until we meet next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's richest blessings and aloha.